Hello to all of our two and four-legged listeners. Welcome back to What the Bark. I'm Nathan. I'm one of the co-founders at Rightpaw, and joining me as always is my partner in crime, Genetic George. Welcome, George.
Hey, welcome.
It's just us two today, and I do hear that you've been potentially doing some speaking outside of the podcast as well, out and about on ABC Radio, somebody tells me.
Nathan, you're right. Guest appearance on ABC Drive, afternoon session, some really good topics. And like always, George answered them in a controversial way. No, it was really good. So I've been out and about, went speaking to some Dogs Queensland members as well, did a seminar to them, just talking about genetics and where we stand and just meeting members. It's good to get out and give some talks face to face. ABC was fantastic. It was literally done with a 2-hour notice. And I think, doesn't want to listen, it was a Wednesday, but a couple of weeks ago, but I can send the date and we can put the recording on What the Bark too.
Yeah, that's it. We can maybe add it into the end of the recording.
And the great thing about it, Nate, is the What the Bark podcast got a plug.
It did. I heard him. They said if you want to hear more of Genetic George, and everyone wants to hear more of Genetic George, that's why they gave it a good plug.
So before we start, and I know I haven't even mentioned this to you yet, Nathan, is that I've got a bit of a Charlie update.
Oh, yes. Okay. I always love a Charlie update and a Mary update, but a Charlie update's always good.
There'll be more on social, but as of 2 days ago, Charlie had his left eye removed.
Oh, wow. Poor guy.
The glaucoma got to the stage where I needed to make a decision, and the decision was it wasn't performing any function. It was becoming red and inflamed and inconvenient. Yeah. And we've done a removal. He's doing well. He's on some antibiotics and some painkillers. His eye apparently will go down, the swelling will, and I'll keep everyone posted. They can watch it all on social media. Their first post will be going up with some live footage and then keeping people updated along the time. And of course, the Mary up will be how she's going with her weight loss.
Gosh, poor Charlie. That's a big surgery. Is he recovering all right?
You know what? And people that are listening, God, how well do dogs ride pain?
They just soldier on.
They soldier on, don't they? That was us.
They're not like us. They're like the man flu.
2 weeks in bed. And then I had to laugh because I took him to the vet clinic. And please, any listeners, if I'm talking absolute baloney, let me know. But I took him into the vet clinic and within 20 minutes, he started to shiver. Now, do you think they smell fear? Do you think smell the dogs in there and what it literally was fine.
Vet clinics have a lot of they have a lot of trauma for some dogs. They could have had a bad experience, the smell of the clinic. It's not uncommon for dogs, as everyone knows, my partner is a vet, and dogs that are very chilled outside the vet clinic, as soon as they get inside, they see the smells, they have that association. Yeah, they can get pretty spooked.
You know what? It was a question raised by the Dion asked question. I thought, why did he? How did he know? Because he can't see. He can hardly hear. And as Dion did call him, he's basically a mute of a dog, but he started to shiver. So I'm thinking the smells, what smells are in there?
Yes.
We humans, we can sense fear sometimes. And maybe dogs are able to, anyway, maybe that's a podcast.
I reckon that's an interesting one. Yeah. There are vet clinics that really specialize in being, there's a term for it. I'm sure the listeners are probably yelling out to me about it, but it's fear-free vet clinics. Like, it's all about how do you create a safe environment for the dog where it's all about being fear-free.
Let's put that down as a topic.
That's a topic for the future.
We'll talk about it. Yes, interesting. But I'll keep everyone updated. That was all. I didn't want to start the pod with doom and gloom because this podcast is all going to be huge, apparently. What are we talking about? We've forgotten to, what are we actually talking about?
We're putting our crystal balls in front of us at the moment. We're going to play sort of Nostradamus because, I don't know, George, this might be a little bit out of your generation, but and my generation, to be fair as well, because it's something the youth of today do. But every new year, when the new year rolls around, they always publish a bit of an ins and an outs list for the new year. So the outs, that's everything that we're saying goodbye to. We don't want to see it in the new year. It's old school. And then the ins are all the new things that are coming up that are going to be big trends for 2024. So what we're going to talk about today, we're going to play our role in saying what are going to be some of the new trends for 2024. George, I've got my list of a couple of things and I'm going to fire them at you. And I'm going to get your view. You're going to tell me, is this an in for 2024 or is this out?
Okay. So you're going to you're going to ping me with what has been seen as some of the new trends, and I'm going to say
you're going to weigh in. Yeah, okay. That's it. I want you to weigh in on these things as well. And look, a lot of these, these are things that let's kick it off, because I think have come up in quite a few discussions.
I can start off by saying there's a new trend already. The new Arrivet website was launched.
That's a good trend. And I think that's a big thumbs up. I think it looks great. I think you come in, you choose, am I a breeder? Am I a vet? Am I a pet owner? You can go straight to whatever you need. You can customize your dashboard. That's great. That's a thumbs up.
Well done to the OpTed IT team who soldier on unnoticed. Like at the Rightport team, the hidden people are the ones. We're the front people that look there.
We just have a nice chat. There's a lot of people behind the scenes that are doing the hard
work. So shout out to all IT workers.
Absolutely. No, so that's a thumbs up. That's already there.
We start, Nathan, trend. I'm wearing my KISS t-shirt. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Are they?
That was the AFL grand final. I think they've had a bit of a renaissance. It's a bit of a thumbs up.
Yeah, thumbs up. Thumbs up to KISS. Anyone listening to know it's rock and roll. Okay, let's start this.
All right, George. So first one I'm going to throw at you, holidaying with your pet, thumbs up or thumbs down?
Ooh, I'd like to go thumbs up, but I've been holidaying with my pet on 4 occasions and I'm almost thumbs down based on how...
Thumbs up is going to happen more than thumbs down. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of... Look, I think it will be happening more. In fact, we're seeing more pet-friendly hotels.
Yes.
Friendly check-ins from what I'm seeing. But let me tell you, after 3 or 4 times, to get tiring, because it's, think about it, when you're away on a holiday, you're trying to enjoy some time, but you've got to really take this pet with you, because most of these pet-friendly places don't like you to leave your dog unattended, or if it does, it has to be outside. It's got to be with you. It's not as rosy as what it all seems.
Yeah, you have
and
to.
You have to find the right place. Sometimes you take them out with you. You're with your family, goes into a coffee shop to have coffee and a croissant. You've got to sit outside waiting for them to bring you outside. You can't sit inside. Sometimes your family walks past a thrift shop or an opportunity shop. They go in to look for the bargains. You can't. But now I've learnt you can pick up your dog and take it into most of these places. They're becoming more accepting. Of course, I had that really bad traumatic experience with Charlie on one of my first holiday experiences where he ran off to chase that wallaby.
That's right. And you thought, that's it. I'm never going to see him again.
You know, I had him off a lead and he saw a wallaby for the first time ever and didn't know what it was. And the wallaby said, I'll get you. And he followed it. He was gone. 5 minutes seem like 3 hours.
That's the thing. It's a lot of work, but you get some great memories. Like you get some good stories from it as well. And I actually just went away for a week and we had our friend's little Cairn Terrier come with us for the weekend. And it was great. The house was set up for it. So we did pop out when we needed to. And you could leave the dogs in the little garden area and it was all secured and fenced. And there wasn't an issue. But it does require a little bit of extra planning. And I think that all of the pups that maybe were bought during COVID, 2020, 2021. Yeah. They're getting 2-3 years old now. They're not in the puppy stage anymore. And families want to start to get out, go experience a bit more travel. So I think there's definitely a rise I've seen in a lot more pet-friendly accommodation, pet-friendly Airbnbs. But even, I hear as well, even if you don't want to take your pet traveling with you, there are some great doggy daycare and dog sitting places as well. One of my friends just went to New Caledonia, left her golden retriever at a golden retriever farmstead. So specific golden retriever, sort of 20, like they can fit 20 goldens and they just take goldens and they're all running around. And it's basically like paradise for the golden retriever.
And look, I even believe you can search on stays and any accommodation and select pet friend. It's now a search.
You can.
Am I right? Who would have thought that? Friendly when you're searching. No longer breakfast included. It's now pets
included.
And you know what, Nathan, if you've got, you're sitting down for this because I'm going to let you know about some new French bulldog types. If you've got your Velvet Frenchie, have you heard of the Velvet Frenchie?
Oh, I've heard some. Yeah, it's a quite unique color.
It's wrinkly and there's also the Husky Koi. Have you heard of the Husky Koi?
That I haven't heard of.
people listening to this podcast, Google it and have a look. If you've got your husky boy Frenchie, you're going to take it with you to your hotel. You're going to check it in.
Wow, husky koi. I'm looking it up right now.
You'll see why it's called the husky koi, because it looks like a...
It does look a bit like a husky, you're right. Oh my gosh, these are trends that I'd never even heard of.
I'm going to check it in. If I'm checking into the Ritz, I've got my husky. I'm not going to leave my husky koi in any of your doggy daycares. I'm taking it with me.
Wow.
Especially if I've paid anything over north of $10,000 for it, it's coming with me.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, does that get your thumbs up, George? Or is that a... Okay.
That's a thumbs up. And just for those listening, thanks to my buddy who sent me these, the big rope French bulldogs. So any French bulldog, listen, because these are the new trends. You want to talk hotel, I'm talking your French bulldog trends.
Okay.
Any new breeder that wants to start in Frenchies, forget your Pieds, forget your Fluffies, forget your Merles. Get into your Husky Koi's and your Velvets.
There we go. I'm gobsmacked. I'm looking at them. I'm just seeing all these. It's crazy. I'm never surprised at the amount of new types of Frenchie that are coming out. I feel like every month there's a new trend.
Maybe we do a podcast and we get some of my buddies on and they talk to me about the new ones. And what they're already asking me to put the color traits on to add these new tests so they can select for these. And there's also, I don't want to say it, there's also hairless French.
Oh, like the Sphinx cat, but of the Frenchy world.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a bit thumbs on its side for me.
I don't know. All right, so we've gone up on the pet.
Thumbs up on
pet accommodation.
Traveling for your pet.
But remember, when you're leaving your place, when you're leaving your pet at all these places, they must be, they've got to be vaccinated, correct?
Absolutely. And especially if you're going to an area where they might have, a particular diseases as well, you might need to go to your vet to get a booster shot for particular things. If there's parvovirus where you're going, or if it's a particularly tick or flea prone area, you've got to make sure that all your dogs are up to date with their meds. So that's something that people don't think about. They think, oh yeah, we're going on a holiday, a road trip, and it's just going to be like being at home. And it's definitely...
There is also a website called dogsonholidays.com.au. There you go.
That will take you through everything.
Everything. Dog friendly wineries. No.
I love a dog friendly wine. One for you, one for me. No, you can't do that. You can't do that.
Dog-friendly beaches. We know about that. Dog-friendly restaurants. Oh, God, who would have thought?
It's a trend. All right, let's continue on the humanization trend a little bit, because another big trend for 2024, I want to know your thoughts on this. Cooking for your dog. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Ethan, that is a thumbs up.
That's a big thumbs up from George.
I like it. Because
home-cooked food.
When you've got a bag of pasta and you're doing spaghetti bolognese and you go, should I leave all the bag in? Put the 750 grams of mincemeat in because one else, not within this, your dog will love a bit of extra. If you're getting a chicken breast, ask it with the skin on, because I know someone that would eat the skin.
Yeah. I think there's cooking and giving your dog a little bit of what you're eating, but then there are some people that are actually cooking specific meals, so they'll cook for themselves and then they'll cook for the dog.
That's ridiculous.
George is really into this cooking for his dog business.
That is ridiculous. Really?
We'll do it.
I struggle to put my chef's hat on just to cook for us. I'm going to do a separate fry pans. Oh, no, I could not. No, there's no way.
I did think, but it is a trend and this is what people are doing. They're saying, I'm going to make a complete meal. I've got do some chicken, some raw mince, some goat's milk, some sheep.
It was a top trend in our Dogs in Digital Age survey. I remember it came up. People cooking for their dog. It's just, look, call me old fashioned, but that is a big stand. Give it part of what you're cooking. If you're cutting up some carrot and your dog's sitting there, throw it a bit of raw. If you're cooking salmon and you don't like your skin on the salmon, peel the skin off you've cooked and give it to your Mary or your Charlie. That's fine. But sitting there, and is there a dog cookbook? Please tell me there is. I'm going to Google it.
Look, I would not put it past the world to have come up with one. I, for one, we had a doggy brunch a couple of months ago where we actually made some little sweet potato sort of cookies for the dogs. And I actually sat there at my kitchen and I made from scratch, baked some sweet potato, put them into some into little cookies, baked them again. I think it was sweet potato and turkey mince.
That's it.
And they loved it.
I can understand if you have to cook because your dog has to go through some dire requirements of losing weight. I get that. Where you might go, I'll put in a bit of rice. I'm looking at one now here. It's ground turkey with some frozen broccoli and cauliflower to try and help it reduce. I get that. But you make a big tray of it and stick it in the fridge. And then by mistake, you eat the dog's fried rice and don't have yours. I can see that. Maybe that is a balanced homemade dog food diet. Give me a break.
Well, look, I think the thing for me is if you're going to cook for your dog, you just got to make sure that it's a complete balanced diet. They're getting all the nutrients that they would get because a lot of work goes into some of the commercial dog foods that you buy to make sure they're all complete and balanced. So if you want to cook for your dog, I reckon be their guest. You can do it, but just make sure it's complete and balanced.
I get there are some good places you can order pre-made foods for your dog. And without mentioning any sponsors there, but they could potentially reach out. You can, that I get. Cook for yourself.
So Charlie's not getting any gourmet meals after his surgery. Okay. But salmon skin? Yeah.
Left.
Okay. All right. I'm on the fence, but big thumbs down from George. All right. That's fair. Okay, here's a bit more of a controversial one, but I think we're both going to agree on it, though. Breed bans.
Breed bans for 20 years, and every year it's another trend.
Yeah.
All it takes is a dog attack, and it creates headlines. In fact, I think I posted a dog and a dog attack that happened, I think, about 3 days ago in New South Wales on my Genetic Georgia Explains It All page, and we got a bit of comments about it. Doesn't work.
I think for me, doesn't it's a work. Thumbs down.
It doesn't work because it just goes from one breed to another. Yes, this is what I will say. And I don't, if people start to think this is being controversial, there are some breeds that are strong and powerful and need to be with the right owner. That I will say. So when you have some of these big mixes, and we're not talking just purebred, most of these dogs, mixed breed, unknown heritage breeds,
yep.
And they're big and powerful dogs. They need to be.
There needs to be some rail guards around it.
That's right.
You know, the pit bull, there's reasons why there's bans around those breeds. But I think when you've got the reason it comes up as well is in the UK. It was in the UK end
the
of
short,
last year. The Bully XL was banned. And then after a number of dog attacks, and a lot of the owners for those breeds got up in arms as well. And I think there's always talk about it. And is it the solution?
But the whole issue around it is there's no defined standard and temperament. So the way you breed your short bully is different to the way I breed. You might look for different temperament and behavior to what I do. Let me tell you, one of the most docile and breeds is bull breeds. It's what they are. Bull breed.
Stuffy bull terriers. They're one of the best
friends. Once you start to introduce terriers into the and the amount of terrier and the temperament behind it does change them a bit. I get that. They're a territorial. That's what a terrier is. I think I've talked about this before.
Yeah.
I have a Boston Terrier myself. Charlie has a high work drive of three. He's bred for work. He loves to chase a ball and will do that constantly, nonstop. Is that a great drive? Not really, but he still makes a great pet. But he's got a high working drive. So people... banning the breed doesn't work. It's making sure that the owners understand that if you've got a particular breed and it's powerful and dangerous, that you may need to regulate. You don't leave it on its own. You understand, you make sure it's you're there in control of it. You make sure you have it on a lead if you have to. And in some cases, you may have to muzzle your dog if that's just the nature of your dog.
Restrictions that they may need to come into place, but an outright ban can be quite damaging. And it can also push the sort of the sale of the dog into the black market, make it unregulated, and it ends up just taking things underground.
And every 5 years, it'll be a different breed. In the 70s, it was the German Shepherd. Then it was the Doberman. Then it was the Rottweiler. Then it was the Amstel. Then it was the Pitbull. Then it was, now it's the Shorty Bully. It's just going to, it's never ending.
Yeah, I think we had a podcast episode a couple of years ago where there was the big potential ban of Cavaliers and British Bulldogs in, I think it was a Scandinavian country.
That's right.
And again, yeah, I don't think that was fully pushed through at the time. It does get floated a lot. And bans, regulation maybe, but bans outright, yeah, I think that gets a thumbs down for me.
Totally. I agree.
Okay, next one. Working from home with your dog. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Or bringing your dog into the office.
Thumbs up.
Up and up.
We all know that having a dog next to you, when you're working with it, calms you down and actually gives you a
bit of a creativity boost.
Yeah. So I know when I'm sitting in the office, I'm giving you George's routine now. George goes into the office 3 days a week and then works from home 2 days. Something I've decided to do. I'm hybrid. I'm coming in and out. The reason I'm coming home is
that's that buzzword, hybrid.
That's the word. Let me tell you, Nathan, most employees today that come first and sit at an interview, one of the either the second or third question they ask you is, am I able to work from home? It's happening.
It's what people want. It's the new normal. And having a dog is one of the big reasons why, because people got dogs during the last 3 years and they want to be at home.
The hardest thing I've had to do was change Mary and Charlie's routine that they didn't come with me in the office on Thursday and Friday. Mary took a while to adjust. What, we're sitting out? We're staying, we were going, you know. We're not going to the office today. It's they finally got used to it. I think it's great having a pet in an office. I think too, they also pick, I've mentioned this before, we'll be sitting there having around the table discussions in the office and the dogs will pick up when there's any debate that's not going favorably. They'll come up and put your paw up. And I know Mary gets super excited, does whizzes around the table when a guest comes in because she realizes a guest means coffee.
Yeah.
And with the coffee comes a biscuit.
Yeah. And a walk maybe as well.
And with the biscuit comes crumbs, which potentially can lead to something Mary to eat. Walks are great. They get me out of the office twice a day to go for a walk. I do my coffee, then go for a walk with them. You tell me anyone that doesn't enjoy having an office in the workplace and working from home needs to happen. I think it needs to be a balance.
It's a balance. Look, I think, and what it can do for mental health as well, it's great. You've got that companionship, brings the office together, the culture. So I think it's good to have that balance. And whether the dog's at home with you or you bring the dog into the office, people want it.
So we allow our work first to be hybrid. I think it's important to try and come in because it's important for you socially to also be able to speak to your colleagues and discuss and work on things rather than being hybrid. It's interesting because recent data showed that literally in Western Australia, over 95% of their workforce works from offices. They're not hybrid. But in Victoria, where lockdowns were huge, we've still got about a 60 to 70% of the workforce that is in some form hybrid. It's difficult to get everyone to go back into work full time because we had a huge lockdown here in Victoria.
Yeah. It trained everyone to get used to being that way.
Western Australia had no lockdown at all.
No, they shut the borders and just went about as normal.
So for them, they were working as normal. Whereas for us, we've created this, but I'm seeing a general trend where people worldwide are now trying to get a balance of work and lifestyle to be able to work from home. And you know what? It works for some people. It works for some organisations. If your employer is still able to deliver and work efficiently from home, why not? As long as they come into the office 1 day or two days a week. What happens at Rightpaw? You have a chat every now and again.
Yeah, we have that balance between, we work from home. That's probably most of the time, but we do get together and have catch-ups during the week as well. So it's hybrid. I'd say it's a hybrid thing. But that's the way it's moving. That's the way it's like the crossbreed of the working world.
And you find that most of the younger generation that are working today aren't working a 9 to 5, 5 days a week, one job. They've probably got two or three different jobs, side hustles, where they're helping someone out and doing something and even working on the weekend because they're just trying to broaden their expertise. And I know I've got couple at Oribet that work so many hours a week at Oribet and then do 1 day a week at something else and then 1 day a week of help at a family business. That's what they're all trying to do. So it's interesting. I'm seeing it even with my kids. There's more hybrid doing some community work as well, which also helps. Yeah, so I think that's a thumbs up. There are some traditional workplaces, like I know here, because they're trying to get people back into the city. They want banks to start to say, come back to work. I think Amazon's trying to reduce some tools to come back.
That's it. Everyone's trying there to, I think all the big companies want to try and get people into the office, but the way they're going to do that is by making it pet friendly.
Good point.
They're going to have to do it.
Because I've got to bring my pet. Yeah, of course. Because what happened during COVID and lockdown, everyone bought a pet.
They're going to have to, yeah, and they're going to have to just update the workplace. So I think that's the trend. Like workplaces becoming more pet friendly. Mate, we're going to make it happen. All right. And all right, last one, and I'm going to throw it to you, George, on this, because I reckon you're going to be the one in the know. DNA health testing. What is coming up in 2024? What are the trends going to be? What are we going to be seeing a bit more? That's what all the listeners want to know.
Oh, dude, really? I can tell you there's going to be lots of new tests available on the Orobet.com website. Watch this space. A little go. I think I've spoken about this, whether it's going to be. So I'm going to start with where I think it's going. So currently what happens is we get an animal's DNA and we genotype it, and then we may then develop more tests. So we get the same bit of DNA we've got and we genotype it against all the other new tests. I think it's changing. Is it latitude or longitude? Which is when you're going out of
latitude, flatitude. That's how I always remember it.
Okay. So we're going to go longitude. Where it's going to go is we're going to grab the dog's DNA. We're going to genotype it. And then we're going to come to that dog and say, can you send me in some DNA 4 years later? And we're going to re-genotype it. And we're going to look at what changes have happened over time, over age, the area of epigenetics.
Yes, that's so how it changes. Yeah,
so people need to get into this, get out of this one-dimensional easy where I just come back to your old DNA and I re-genotype it. It's about what changes have happened over time. And I think we touched on this with this whole DNA aged.
Yeah, with Andrea.
Andrea, where you take someone's DNA age test at a specific time, and then based on environment, nutrition, all those sort of things, that is, you re-genotype it at 4 years later and see whether the DNA age has actually changed to 4 years or whether it's less. It's where it's going to go. It's not, what did you say, not longitude?
Latitude.
It's latitude. It's this way. It's up. So we're not going horizontally. We're going
okay.
And of course, one thing that never happens is price never goes up at Orovet. I don't know how we don't make any money, so we'll be offering more tests. What else is DNA age?
What about research tests? Because we've had a lot of research tests, more things coming in, IVDD, MMVD. We're getting a lot of data, which is useful to see if there's...
Yeah, a lot of people are trying to match. If you look at some of the trends that are coming out, digital food bowls that go back to an app, so it measures food together with the lifestyle of the pet. This sort of personalized medicine that we're seeing in humans is going to happen in pets. And it's all about what goes in as well. So it's measuring what goes in, how much exercise they do. When it comes to genetic tests, do I see any trends in anything that's revolutionary? Maybe there'll be some more breakthroughs in the way that we assess some of the cancers that are seen in dogs. There's some really good research being done in some cancer genetics. IVDD, I hope they give me better tests than IVDD and MD and linkage association tests, because to date they give me so many headaches, they're just difficult to explain to a breeder. Because the problem you've got is when you have these div linkage marker tests, how does a breeder actually use that information if he's got six times more likely to be positive, how is that used?
We've talked about it before. You can't make informed decisions in your breeding program. It's just indicative. And it's just more for research. Right. Just more for research.
So yeah, where that trend's come, it's a good question. Hopefully, I think I keep it. The way things are going, Nathan, it's going to be more expensive to flush your toilet than to sequence the dog.
Wow. That's interesting. You really are. You think so?
Yeah, there's a good little paper. I think we'll talk about it next time. Okay. Maybe a podcast. The way water is, the way it's maintaining all these weights and everything, it's going to be so expensive that pretty much sequencing a dog's genome will come down to about $60.
We will see how it all pans out across the year.
And of course, there's all the other trends about inbreeding coefficients and using genetics to assess inbreeding coefficients to help you with breeding. Again, maybe we can do another podcast on all that as well.
Yeah. And look, I saw on another plug for the new Orovet website is there's a whole section on breeding strategies where you can actually put in your positive carrier clear and you can work out what's the right strategy for my program.
And there's some really nice tools on even color strategies.
I like that
too. Particular colors and putting it in and giving you what outcomes you've got, which is an area which is amazing. We're going to see things in the feeding bowls, There's probiotics as well now in dogs. There's the use of cannabinoids to help with medicinal purposes in pets as well. All these are dog yoga.
Yes, puppy yoga. That's a big one. I went to a puppy yoga class last year, which was a little bit of a gimmick, I have to say, but it was very cute. Definitely got the serotonin levels up. But I think,
there's a group that we met that do a really nice pet feeder. I think it's called, let me just try and find, I met with this group. It's called, you've got me now on, it was one of the, and it links to a collar. So the bowl measures basically the amount of food, and then the consumption is linked to a collar that takes all the to collar reading. I'm trying to Google what
smart,
we
spent. Yeah, all of the smart. Like, that's a big thumbs up from me, because I think that anything that you can measure what your dog's feeding, how they're feeding, smart bowls, smart feeders, it's so much more coming in that area.
And I'm going to see if I can maybe get them on the podcast. I met with them and they seem like they're switched on, and what they've got looks to be in that area of sort of technology linking food to lifestyle.
Yes. There we go. We will have to put a check in at the end of the year to see what we've learned from 2024 and what's been a big trend.
Yeah, why not? Let's do more. Let's see if these are flops. Maybe we can look at some flops of 2023.
Oh, gosh. Some of those, the trends that have died off, like those buttons where you press them and the pets talk.
Totally. I'd like to think what's been a real big trend that's worked really well when some of the others failed has been right, Paul. Done really well, hasn't it?
Yeah,
really
no, it's a...
It's a trend that sort of started when again in 2020.
2020, yeah. Has been trending, still trending. And yeah, look, I think, oh, no, you go.
And a huge announcement I saw the other day. What was it? You've got some, you're now accepting overseas?
Yeah, we've actually just opened up to international applicants. So we've now got the ability for people, because we get a lot of inquiries from Singapore, Hong Kong, the US, applicants over there that want to apply for Australian breeders, because everyone loves Aussie dogs and people know that Australian breeders are very popular. And
so these
now,
are people that want to purchase an Australian. So you're giving me more value as a breeder.
As an Australian breeder, you're now open to an international market.
So who does all the arranging of flying them over and everything?
Some breeders have their own arrangements, but we have some great partners that we work with who do specialize in international transport. And it's a bit different. If you're a breeder that hasn't done it before, it might seem a bit daunting, but you've got some great transport companies that specialize in it. The pups need to generally be around 12 weeks old at the very earliest to be able to fly. But it is it's becoming increasingly common.
Nice. Good thinking. Who came up with that light bulb? It's good because I know Singapore, very big interest in especially some of our Labradors here and some of our other Golden Retrievers got highly regarded internationally.
Yes. Yeah. And there, in some of those countries like Singapore, there's not really a big breeding market. Those owners are looking for places to get.
It's good thinking. That must have been Adelaide again who's come up with the idea.
Honestly, it was the number of international applicants that kept emailing us being like, how can we apply? How can we apply? So we opened it up.
Nice. Good work. All right.
Great. We will see how this plays out across 2024.
Excellent. I'm going to have a bit of an afternoon snack after all that talking about.
Yeah. Go check on Charlie. Make a gourmet meal. No, I haven't convinced you on that one.
No, I'm just going to give him his standard meal. It's about 4 o'clock. They'll be in here looking for food. Talking about food, I've got Dion passing me some crisps and some brie on some biscuit to have.
Oh, look at that service. Amazing. To all of our listeners, thanks again for tuning in, and we'll be back very soon with another episode.
Great chat. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks, mate. Always good to get your crystal ball gazing. I love it.
Anytime. Thanks, listeners.
Thanks, everyone. All right. See you in a few weeks. We hope you enjoyed this episode of What the Bark. Don't forget to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a 5-star review if you enjoyed the podcast. You can visit rightpaw.com.au for your all-in-one place to find responsible, verified breeders, and you can visit orivet.com.au for all your pet genetic testing needs. Remember to stay positive, and we'll see you in the next episode.